תפילת החברים.
The prayer of the friends. Creator, we are grateful that you have called us to this society whose intention is to build an inner connection between us in order to receive your light and pass it to all your creations. Great Creator, help us receive the right scrutinies, the strength to overcome our weakness, and the courage to stand in unity and not leave the campaign. Anyone who mourns for Jerusalem is rewarded with seeing its joy. This means that as much as we understand and recognize the magnitude of the ruin that we've went through, what is its source, its reason, and as much as this touches our heart, the entire nation, the whole world, the Creator's plan for creation. According to that, we can also understand and recognize and feel this whole mourning, and thus realize what is the reason for the ruin, what should be the reason to come out from the ruin, and how do we reach the building of Jerusalem? How do we reach Jerusalem that is built? Jerusalem is a sign for complete fear. That we attain, and then in such a way, from the morning we rise to joy. There is no other day that is more black, that is considered this day, the day which is considered as a day of general mourning, like the ninth of Av. This is the source of all of the judgments, all the troubles. Well, let's hope that we can study this from the article. So, please. What is anyone who mourns for Jerusalem is rewarded with seeing its joy. Rabash's article.
So we're going to read. Our sages said, anyone who mourns for Jerusalem is rewarded with seeing its joy. Taking literally, this is hard to understand. Certainly, there were many righteous who mourned for Jerusalem. Yet Jerusalem was still not built. So how were they rewarded with seeing its joy? In the literal explanation, there are probably many answers to this. But we should interpret it in the work. It is known that Malchut is called Jerusalem. Hence, when we say the ruin of Jerusalem, it refers to the ruin of the temple. This is called that Shekhinah, the divinity, is in the dust, or Shekhinah in exile. In other words, a person should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven and believe that the Creator leads the world with a guidance of the good who does good, since it is hidden from us. Malchut is the one who gives the souls and to Bia. Everything that comes from above to the creatures is considered Malchut. Thus, Malchut is not respected by the creatures because they do not see her importance, meaning what she gives to us. This is called Jerusalem in its ruin. In other words, where she should have been giving delight and pleasure to the creatures, and where everyone should have seen her merit, they see that everything is ruined in her and she has nothing to give. Instead, about it, the mourners of Jerusalem and the lamenting, ruined, degraded, and desolate city. In other words, everything is ruined and destroyed. And this is called the Shekhinah in the dust. Hence, when a person should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, the body resists vigorously. And overcomes and takes up himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, although he sees no importance and mourns for the importance of Jerusalem being so hidden from us, and prays about why Malchut has no importance. And he asks the Creator to raise Jerusalem from the dust it is in, to the extent that one regrets its ruin, he is rewarded with the Creator hearing his prayer. And that man is rewarded with seeing its joy, meaning that it does bestow upon him delight and pleasure. It follows that the meaning will be that he who regrets and mourns for Jerusalem, for the Shekhinah being in the dust, that person is rewarded with seeing its joy, since there is no light without a kli, and since he has the kli, meaning the lack, his regret that Shekhinah is in the dust, he is therefore rewarded with seeing the comfort of Jerusalem. According to the above said, we should interpret what is written, the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib. Israel does not know. My people does not understand. We should understand the difference between an ox and a donkey in the work, as well as the difference between Israel, my people, in the work. Bala Sulam said that the difference between an ox and a donkey is that an ox is considered mind, which is faith above reason. This is the meaning of the ox knows its owner. And a donkey is considered heart, meaning the will to receive, which is, and the donkey, its master's crib. Thus, there are two discernments here. Those who work for a reward, who observe Torah and Mitzvot in order to receive reward, their question is primarily, how much reward will I receive, and what will be the reward? Meaning, is this reward worth the labor in Torah and Mitzvot? Two, those who want to work in order to bestow, because as it is written in the Zohar, he is great and ruling. In other words, they work only because of the greatness of the Creator. That is, they feel very privileged serving a great king. It follows that those who work in order to bestow need to know who they are serving, meaning that whether he is a truly great and important king worth serving. However, when they begin to work in order to bestow, and the whole reason that they have the strength to work is the importance of the Creator, then begins the work in the form of Shechina in the dust. In other words, where spirituality, meaning working to benefit the Creator, should have been more important each time, a person gets such thoughts that demonstrate the opposite. And instead of a person going forward and working more gladly, is serving an important king, he gets pictures of insignificance. In other words, he does not feel his greatness, and this causes him constant descents. This means that even when he overcomes the descents, he cannot always endure and fight against these thoughts. And what these thoughts show him is that the Shekhinah is in the dust. He wishes to work with joy for serving a great and important king, and this should bring him joy. But he feels the complete opposite, meaning rejection. It is as though he is being repelled from the work. This is called Shechina in the dust. This feeling that he is being pushed outside, in other words, he feels that while wishing to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, Pharaoh's question comes to him asking, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? This is considered that Malchut, meaning the Shekhinah, is in exile with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who shows the lowliness of the kingdom of heaven. At that time, one can ask for Malchut to be built, meaning that Malchut will not remain in a form of lowliness, since one cannot receive joy from his lowliness when he sees that it has no importance. This is considered that one should pray for the ruin of the temple, meaning for the world not being able to see the receiving of the kingdom of heaven as a good thing, meaning consider working for the Creator, a respectable, dignified work. Hence, when one prays for exile of the Shekhinah, he should not pray that it is in the dust only for him. Rather, one should pray about its lowliness in the whole world, that the whole world gives no thought to spirituality. And he prays for the whole world, as we pray in Jerusalem soon in your day, in our days, so it will be glorified in the whole world, as it is said in the Rosh Hashanah prayer, be king over all the world with your glory. But since the general public does not feel the lack, how can they pray? However, such a person who was rewarded with obtaining the need, who has attained the exile, he can ask redemption. But those who do not feel that there is an exile, how can they ask that he will deliver them from exile? It follows that a person feeling of being in exile is already considered an ascent in degree, and he must ask for fulfillment for the general public.
As was mentioned above, anyone who mourns for Jerusalem is rewarded with seeing its joy. In other words, the one who feels the exiles of the Shekhinah and mourns is the one who is rewarded with seeing its joy. Since in terms of the vessels, only he has vessels that are ready for redemption because vessels are a desire for a filling. Hence, he mourns because he feels how the Shekhinah is in exile and her greatness is not seen. But one who wishes to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven because he is great and ruling gets thoughts and depictions, and those thoughts repel him outside of Kedusha. And only by overcoming and coercion above reason can he endure. And each time he wishes to believe that his providence is in the manner of good and doing good, he gets thoughts that slander the Creator. And it pains him that he must hear slander. He believes that it is only because the nations of the world rule over the Kedusha, meaning that there is concealment, and for those who wish to enter the holy work, the Sitra Acha, the other side, hides the importance of Kedusha. It follows that it is precisely the one who mourns who needs heaven's mercy to be able to overcome the evil in him. And he mourns and cries for the Creator to help him. But he should certainly pray for the whole public. Otherwise, it is considered that he is praying only for his own sake. That is, that only he will be delivered from exile. And if one truly asks for the sake of the Creator, to have the glory of heaven be revealed in the world, how can he ask only for himself? Thus one should ask for the glory of heaven to be revealed to the whole world. As our sages said, anyone who pleads mercy for his friend, and he needs the same, is granted first. In a work, we should understand why a person is answered first if he pleads mercy for his friend. It seems as though the mercy he is asking for is not because he wishes to evoke mercy on his friend. It seems like deceit, because our sages said that he will be answered first, therefore he's pleading mercy for his friend. And moreover, we should understand why he is answered first. Can't the prayer be granted for both of them together? Must it be one at a time and not both at once? We should understand what is it about him being answered first. We should interpret that when a person asks for mercy for his friend in the work, when one begins to walk on a path of achieving adhesion with the Creator through observing Torah and mitzvot, considered that all his actions will be for the Creator and not for himself, the body begins to resist this work. It brings him thoughts of how this work is not for him, since the nature of the body is for its own sake, while he wishes to work for the sake of the Creator now. Thus, the body, called the will to receive, always shows him that it is not worthwhile to work for the Creator. And since one cannot make a single move without pleasure, because this is the nature of creation. Since he wishes to delight his creations, which is the reason for creation, hence one cannot work unless he receives pleasure from the work. Thus, everything that a man does is only in order to enjoy, meaning to receive reward for the exertion he is making. Therefore, in Lo Lishma, when one believes in reward and punishment, one has fuel for work during the labor, because he is looking at the reward he will receive. But when one works in order to bestow, meaning he does not wish to receive any reward for the labor, how can he work without pleasure? The Zohar says about this that we must work because the Creator is great and ruling, meaning because of the greatness of the Creator. This is so because we see that in nature, the smaller one receives pleasure when serving the greater one. Since naturally, one has strength to work in service of an important person. Especially it is a great pleasure to serve a great king. One does not need to work on it. It is in the nature of creation. What one should work on is to know and to feel that he is an important person, and then he will be able to serve him. Therefore, particularly when one wishes to work because of the greatness of the Creator, bad thoughts come to him and do not let him feel the greatness of the Creator, but actually show him the opposite. Indeed, this concealment governs the whole public. But for those people who do not work because of the greatness of the Creator, the body does not need to hide the greatness of the Creator from them. Since, as long as they do not make the greatness of the Creator the reason for the work, the body is not working for free, because it considers the reward, not the giver of the reward. It follows that specifically for people who wish to work only because of the work of the greatness of the Creator, there is resistance. And the nations of the world cover and hide the Israel in men. Thus, naturally, the majority of slander against the greatness of the Creator is in those who wish to achieve adhesion with the Creator. Those who feel that discernment, called the Shekhinah in the dust, are the ones who feel the need to ask of the Creator to deliver her from the exile, from being among the nations, meaning that the nations rule over her and hide the greatness and importance of the Holy Shekhinah. Therefore, those who feel that the Shekhinah is in the dust should pray for the glory of heaven to be revealed throughout the world. However, it is not the whole world that needs it to raise the Shekhinah from the dust. And so he is answered first, since he needs that same thing. But afterwards, this brings disclosure to the whole generation. And yet, as long as they do not have the proper vessels for it, it cannot be so disclosed in them. It is as our sages said, if he performs one mitzvah, happy is he, for he has shifted himself and the entire world to the side of merit. Thus, only that person who feels the concealment over spirituality, meaning over the desire to bestow because of the greatness of the Creator, he must ask for mercy for the whole generation. And since he needs that thing, he will be answered first. This is why it is said about him, anyone who mourns for Jerusalem is rewarded with seeing its joy. And the reason is, as we have said above, that he needs that same thing, and not the public. This is why he who pleads mercy for his friend, they cannot both receive the granting of the prayer at once, because only he needs that thing, meaning that salvation, to feel the greatness of Kedusha, called raising the Shekhinah from the dust. But those who work in the first above-mentioned manner, meaning those who work for a reward, they considered the reward. There is a rule. The one who gives is important. It follows that if they believe that they will receive reward, that the Creator will pay their reward, then he is already important to them. But those who are not working for a reward should now feel his greatness. And on that, there is the concealment that is placed on the Kedusha. His greatness is not seen. For that, we should request from the Creator to remove the concealment, as it is written, "Do not hide your face from me." Now we can understand what we asked about what is Israel does not know and what is my people does not understand. Israel are those who work with the aim to achieve adhesion with the Creator, to be rewarded with achieving the degree of Yashar El, straight to the Creator, and not for their own benefit. They belong to the intention called knowing. Since they need to come to clear knowledge that they must achieve the greatness of the Creator. This knowledge comes specifically through faith above reason. Since the reason is dominated by the nations of the world who hide the greatness of Kedusha and degrade the kingdom of heaven to the dust. And specifically by overcoming with faith above reason, when one carries out his actions by coercion, when bad thoughts of the Sitra Acha come to him, which slander and say that it is not worthwhile to work for the sake of the Creator, that the reason for this work is only the greatest of the Creator, then there is nothing one can do except believe in the sages who tell us that it is specifically this work that a person does above reason that the Creator enjoys. It is, as Baal HaSulam said, that the majority of the work is when a person gives something to the Creator precisely when he goes above reason. This means that reason tells him that it is not worthwhile for you to do things in order to bestow, but one overcomes it and works above reason. This is considered that a person gave something to the Creator. But when the Creator gives him an awakening from above, there is nothing that one can do about which he can say that he is giving something to the Creator. Since then the person is annulled before the Creator as a candle before a torch, without any choice. In that state, one is giving nothing because he has no choice. But when he must go above reason, since reason states otherwise, he can say that he is giving something to the Creator. And he said that we must believe this, that this work is more important to the Creator than the rest of the works. The prophet said, the ox knows its owner. This pertains to the quality of Israel, who are considered the heads of the people. Israel means li rosh, the head in smine. Knowledge belongs to them. This is why he said Israel did not know, since they were not engaging in labor in order to come to know the Creator. As it is written, know this day and lay it to your heart that the Lord, He is God. And the prophet said that they were not engaging in this. Also, the prophet spoke to the public, meaning to the populace, whose work is only to receive reward. And this is why they engage in Torah and mitzvot. They did not consider the matter of, and the donkey, its master's crib. The donkey, as we said above, is the will to receive, called only self-love. And then the prophet told them that the donkey, meaning he who looks at his master's crib, meaning the reward, did not consider that the Creator is giving them the reward, meaning that by considering they will receive the love of the Creator, just as there is love who one who gives presents to people. But they did not notice the giver. They only thought that they would have reward. It follows that the actions they did for reward, without love and fear, meaning that they did not give any thought to his master's crib, meaning to the landlord, that the Creator is the giver. Instead, they cut the mitzvot from the giver of the Torah and mitzvot and did not think of the giver of the work during the work. Also, when they thought about the reward, they were not thinking of who was the giver of the reward. This means that the prophet stands and warns both Israel, those who work on the intention but do not give sufficient heed to achieving adhesion with the Creator, and those who work only in action, and their aim is only to receive reward. And they do not consider who it is who gives the reward. This is why my people does not understand. And naturally, they lack the love of the Creator. It follows that a man should reflect on what to pray for before he comes to pray. This is why Baal HaSulam said that one should pray for only one thing. And this includes many things. It is that he asks of the Creator to give him a desire to work in order to bestow and not for his own sake. This is so because in order to have a desire to bestow, he must already have faith in the Creator and believe in the greatness of the Creator. But the prayer that he wishes for the Creator to give him the desire to bestow means that a person tells the Creator, I want that while I engage in Torah and mitzvot, the intention will be that I will believe that the Creator takes pleasure in my actions. In other words, even though one does not taste or feel anything during his labor, he will have the strength to say to his body, while the body argues, you see, that the study of Torah and the prayer are tasteless to you, the person wishes to have the strength to to tell the body, since I am working only for the Creator's pleasure, why should I care if it feels tasteless to me or not? If I were working for my own benefit, you would be right in what you are telling me, that you are tasting nothing in your work. Likewise, a person who does not enjoy his food does not eat. However, I am working to benefit the Creator, so it makes no difference to me what flavor I'm tasting. This is what he asks of the Creator, and this is called unconditional surrender.
Why
a person who feels concealment in spirituality should ask for mercy for everyone?
Because if the Creator had mercy over everyone, he would feel it with everyone. Therefore, he cannot ask for himself as much as he can ask for the entire generation, for everyone.
Can I continue, Rav? Why shouldn't he pray for his part? Nevertheless, he's part of the system. He should ask to correct.
But he's a part of the system. He should realize that if he won't correct the system, he won't feel it either. All in all, when we receive from above some form of bestowal, then we get for this form because we are ready for it.
Another thing I didn't understand, what is one who mourns for Jerusalem is rewarded with seeing her joy?
Apparently, to mourn for Jerusalem is something very difficult. By this, a person develops new vessels. And in these vessels, he sees the joy of Jerusalem, which also exists in spirituality. However, to rise from the degree of the ruin to the degree of joy, correction, a person can do it on the condition that he becomes incorporated in both of these states, both the state of ruin and also the state of joy.
If to bring it closer to our work in the tent, what is that mourning for Jerusalem and what is that joy?
If we can connect with each other and realize that the entire correction of the world is in the connection between us, and we do want to be connected, then, well, all the more so. We have to reach that.
What? What does it mean to mourn Jerusalem and the relationships between us?
Well, Jerusalem is the image of the correction of the soul. Either it is broken or it is built. And so we have to reach a state where we become incorporated in Jerusalem that is built.
Rabash recommends we coerce ourselves in order to rise above reason.
Yes.
How do we do this action?
When we want to get closer to the friends, in spite of all the difficulties that we have on the path towards unity between us, right? And in such a way, we can reach a single vessel, and in it, a single force will be revealed. And this is how we will reach the correction. All in all, the method is very simple, very healthy. However, the correction in actuality is difficult. Yes, Moshe.
He writes that if there's no flavor in the work, then how in studying the Torah can you bestow to the Creator? How can you bestow to the Creator if there's no flavor?
Only by asking Him that He will give me taste.
It's permissible to ask.
It's permitted to ask about anything.
I thought we were going to ask for the power to continue.
No, you can ask for whatever you want. You will learn from that. Will you get something out of it, or you won't get anything out of it?
It's egoistic. Give me flavor in the work. Of course, if he gives me flavor, I'll work.
But if I know that without that I cannot move, then I have no choice and I should ask for it.
See?
They put a certain food before you and they demand of you to eat it, and you cannot. You can't. It repels you so much that it's impossible to get close to it, to this dish. What are you going to do? As much as you plead, it's not going to help. Especially that it is demanded of you that you will eat it with love, that you'll be drawn to it with special conditions, that you should feel in it the taste of heaven, etc. And you are the complete opposite of it. So, how can you do it? What our will to receive is. Will to receive is telling us.
So sometimes you have to give some flavor to the will to receive, and so you would leave us alone, and now continue to work.
Well, how will you work without the will to receive?
Above, that's what we learn. That's the method. There's a power above the desire. The fact that there'll be some flavor within the will to receive, there's no problem.
Well, let's say. Well, today you are in a ruin, I see. Oi.
I wanted
to ask about this discernment of asking for the collective, for the public. When a person is asking for the public, for the collective, the public is not feeling those sufferings that the person is asking for.
That's right, otherwise he would ask.
So why is it called asking for the public? Why is he asking for them if they're not included in these sufferings?
So you're saying the following: if I do not awaken a deficiency out of a bad feeling, that it's not really a deficiency, and I can't pray for it, and nothing's going to happen. So,
when you ask from something that pains you. In the article, he repeats it several times that he's asking for the public, but the public is not feeling the suffering for which he's asking.
Right?
So why, from the get-go, is he asking for such things?
Because he knows it's good for them.
But how can they receive if they don't have a lack?
Well, this is what we have to search for. The way, the direction, or how we can reach out to the public, and how do we convince them to take on the method, the method by which to discover the vessel, and establish themselves so that they can receive the filling.
It works out that every time he asks for the collective, he's asking for himself. He's asking for himself. Ultimately, the revelations are in him, because they don't have any vessels.
Well, apparently he needs to become incorporated with them, in them, and get from them their deficiency, and check that deficiency, how much their deficiency matches his deficiency. There are stages in that.
But why is it called divinity in the dust? Why is it in the dust if they don't even share that deficiency? They don't have the awareness of divinity in the dust. So why is the public called divinity in the dust?
No, the Shekhinah is in the dust because she cannot save all the people in the world. This is why she's in the dust. What to do about it? Through the work, precisely such work as he writes to us, we can awaken the Shekhinah so that it will awaken its individual desires so that they will be able to wake up.
I'll ask one last time. If you are asking for the public, but the public does not share those sufferings for which you are asking, is there any expectation for something to happen in them, or you have no calculation about whether or not something will happen in them?
This is already a different question.
The Lord is God. And the prophet said that they were not engaged in this. Also, the prophet spoke to the public, meaning to the populace, whose work is only to receive reward, and this is why they engage in Torah and Mitzvot. They did not consider the matter of, and the donkey is its master's crib or trough. The donkey, as we said above, is the will to receive, called only self-love. And then the prophet told them that the donkey, meaning he who looks at his master's crib or trough, the reward, did not consider that the Creator is giving them the reward, meaning that by considering, they will receive the love of the Creator, just as there is love for one who gives presents to people. But they did not notice the giver, they only thought that they would have reward. It follows that what they did for reward, without love and fear, meaning they did not give any thought to his master's crib, or trough, meaning to the landlord, that the Creator is the giver. Instead, they cut the mitzvot, the commandments, from the giver of Torah and mitzvot, and did not think of the giver of the work during the work. Also, when they thought about the reward, they were not thinking of who was the giver of the reward. This means that the prophet stands and warns both Israel, who work on the intention but do not give sufficient heed to achieving adhesion with the Creator, And those who work only in action and their aim is only to receive reward, and they do not consider who it is who gives the reward. This is why my people do not understand, and naturally they lack the love of the Creator. It follows that a man should reflect on what to pray for before he comes to pray. This is why Baal Salam said that one should pray for only one thing. And this includes many things. It is that he asks of the Creator to give him a desire to work in order to bestow and not for his own sake. This is so because to have a desire to bestow, he must have faith in the Creator and believe in the greatness of the Creator. But the prayer that he wishes for the Creator to give him the desire to bestow means that a person tells the Creator, I want that while I engage in Torah and Mitzvot, the intention will be that I will believe that the Creator takes pleasure in my actions. In other words, even though one does not taste or feel anything during his labor, he will have the strength to say to his body, while the body argues, you see that the study of Torah and the prayer are tasteless to you. A person wishes to have the strength to tell the body, since I'm working only for the Creator's pleasure, why should I care if it feels tasteless to me or not? If I were working for my own benefit, you would be right in what you are telling me, that you are tasting nothing in your work. Likewise, a person who does not enjoy his food does not eat. I, however, am working to benefit the Creator, so it makes no difference to me what flavor I am tasting. This is what he asks of the Creator, and this is called unconditional surrender.
How was the article? I'm happy that it went through in a
Gluya,
in a revealed way on everyone.
Selam Rav, selam dostlar. Onu çalışması için de pratik olarak Kudüs'ün yıkımı ne demek?
What is the ruin of Jerusalem practically in the ten?
It's when you feel a lack of an ability to be as one man with one heart. Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, is a feeling of a force that ties us together. And its ruin is the opposite.
No, it says in the article that we should pray for the nations, even if they don't have any importance of the Creator.
Yeah,
in each and every one, there is such discernments that man doesn't feel importance of the Creator in them. Those discernments are called the nations of the world. And we need in some way to add them
uh,
to add them into the correction. And in this way, we have to process them all. Eventually, we need to bring all of the thoughts, desires, qualities we have to revelation of the Creator, to adhesion, to connection. And that's how they exist. In our vessel of Malchut, there's 70 nations of the world. There's an ability to be above that, that is called Israel. And in this way, we need to advance. Unconditional surrender is when I want
liknot
to surrender without any preconditions to I want to acquire the method, the form that will give me a connection with the friends. Then in this way, I won't need to disconnect from them. Try and speak about it as simple as you can. You can always add philosophy. Women, Moscow, 6.
It is
said in the excerpt that he's asking for mercy for his friend. So he would feel the greatness of holiness, of raising the Shekhinah from the dust. What is the essence of asking for mercy for one's friend? What are we asking for?
What do you ask for a friend? That he will be connected with the others in such a tent where the Creator can be revealed completely.
This is thank you. Two questions concerning the article. In two places, Abash moves abruptly from asking for the collective to asking for the friend. What is the connection here? Thinks that he has to ask for the collective, for the public, and then ask for the friend.
Is it the same thing or what?
Or what is it? He says it's important to ask for the general public and then to ask for the friend without any transition.
Man comes out of himself, and then there's no difference for him. He just asks for the vessel to be corrected in its external part.
How to ask for the friend or for the society if the Creator is not important at that moment, if there's no importance of the Creator?
How can you ask? First, we need to uplift the importance of the Creator.
But it says here that when the Creator is not important, you have to ask. How do you ask if it's not important?
Ask.
Understand.
Здравствуйте. Скажите, пожалуйста, так вот человек с таким хисаром, когда молится за все поколение, что
значит, for the whole generation, for the whole collective? What does it mean that his prayer is answered and he sees the rebuilding of Jerusalem and his joy because it happens within a person, not outside?
What's the difference? What does it matter?
Well, a person doesn't begin to see that his whole generation wants to walk in the path of Torah and commandments, but within a person there has to be some change. And because of his prayer, not everyone begins to pray. So, seeing the joy of Jerusalem, we're raising the Shekhinah from the dust. Is it correct that then a person begins to see that everything in society follows his pace and that the Creator is good and does good? These are the things that are revealed to a person, not that the whole society of
Yes, Kiev 1.
You said that a person has to pray for Malchut of Ein Sof. What does it mean to pray for Malchut of Ein Sof?
On the general Malchut that includes everything in it.
And what is the connection where I ask for the 10 and connect with it? Where is the Malchut here?
It's only in its magnitude. You can't divide it into parts. Spirituality isn't divided into parts.
How to switch from the connection with the 10 to the general Malchut?
It only depends on as much as you increase or decrease the incorporation between all parts.
So how do I increase the integration between the parts when I feel the connection with the friends in the 10?
You increase the incorporation in love.
Within the 10, or should I add something else to it?
In the
10.
We have other friends, we have the whole world Kli. Is this what you mean, or only in the 10?
No, it doesn't matter how much you add or subtract. The
Selam Rav.
Selam.
Bizler yaz gününde nasıl bir çalışma içinde olmalıyız?
What should be our work on a day of fasting, a day of mourning like today?
Our work has to be that we are thinking of the corrections in each and every one. And as much as we are close or far of correcting the general vessel, as much as we can help each other in our general correction. And it really has to awaken us all, because without the general common feeling between us that we that we'll think of the general correction, so we won't reach advancement towards the final correction. We need to constantly think how we come closer to one structure, how we reach one place, how we
migalim echad,
reveal one,
שבמידה שאנחנו מתחברים בינינו,
that to the extent that we connect between us, the Creator supposedly connects and prepares himself for our feelings.
לכן
that's why revealing the Creator entirely depends on our connection. Entirely.
Uh,
So when I pray for the collective, what should I imagine?
You need to imagine that before you there's a collective, and you're suffering that they don't have revelation of the Creator, and they can't reach revelation of the Creator and the unity between them without your prayer.
Thank you, Rav. How can we increase the common feeling of the whole world clear during the lesson so that a prayer of many will come up from us?
To try together to unite our hearts. You have to feel that today you're more prepared for it than it was 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. Just like that, that there's more of a willingness in each friend's heart. And in this way, come closer.
How can we feel the whole kli in the heart?
I don't know what the whole kli is. It's enough for me in my tent. If I am able to feel inside me all the desires, thoughts, goals of my friends, so according to this, I can go onward and feel everyone's sorrow. Okay, friends, let's talk about today, right? We are soon going to read the Megillah, right? The story of the ruin that happened thousands of years ago. In the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And we have to think, what does it exactly symbolize? Why do we care that it was thousands of years ago? And why should we be concerned about it and be sorry about it as if it happened yesterday, and to each and every one personally? Is that clear, what I'm asking? Clear. So that's a problem, because whoever doesn't mourn the temple is not ready to see it resurrected, supposedly. We have to understand and really feel in our hearts what the destruction means. And according to that, what we need to want from the correction, in which way and what it has to bring us.
Are against me all day long. Behold, they're sitting and they're rising. I am the object of their taunts. You will repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. You will give them dullness of heart. Your curse will be on them. You will pursue them in anger and destroy them from under your heavens, O Lord. The holy stones like scatters. How the gold has grown dim, how the pure gold is changed, the whole stone is scattered at the head of every street, the precious of Zion, worth the weight in fine gold. how they have regarded an as earthen ethern plot, the work of the potter's hands. Intuitively, we avoid feeling sorrow, mourning. We start anew every time. We have this healthy, positive approach. And here, there's like a different guidance to reach joy and be rewarded. There's something very special here. If you mourn, then you will be rewarded with joy, not in another way.
Yeah.
So how do we adopt this attitude of feeling the sorrow?
We, in somewhat, use these transitions always, let's say, in a wedding, right? We break the glass or all kinds of other symbols. Or in a brit, a circumcision. We have signs that we always still connect to all our happy events. We mention the reason for the ruin of the temple. You can't have one without the other. And we need to think about it.
How it should be part of our work, feeling the destruction. It's not a day in the year or...
We need to feel it every day, because otherwise we won't correct ourselves. The lack of correction that we feel, it's parts of the ruin, of the destruction. So what is the task about?
So why should we look at it as a destruction, something that was ruined? It's just a situation.
What do you mean the state? If this is the state, so it's a state. It has nothing to do with me if it belongs to me. So we need to understand, what does it give me? This state, the state that was and the state that will be. And then I see that I'm really in the worst state. The worst state. That I can't correct the shattering, and I can't come near it. I can't do anything. So what could be worse?
Disconnection, where I'm totally disconnected, and poor me, I'm disconnected.
No, even when we're now disconnected from the Creator, we can ask, we can demand of Him to take His conditions for correction, to keep them, to ask Him to correct it, that He raises us, yes? This is our work. If we learn what exactly happened to us, against that we can learn what exactly we need to do in order to correct the shattering and come back to the corrected state.
So what should we focus on, concentrate on such a day?
It depends on the education a person got.
We
need to concentrate that we understand that the ruin had to take place, that there couldn't be a state without it. It was a very, very difficult period in corporeal and in spirituality, and now we need to connect between us and bring ourselves to the corrected state. That's clear? Yes, Dudi?
Should we be in lamentation today or in joy?
In mourning.
Lamentation for what?
That there was a state that we could ascend to Gmar Tikkun and we didn't use it correctly. That's why we felt.
What's the cry about the past? It happened and that's it. Now we should be happy about the future.
No, if you don't cry, so you don't understand what you've lost. That's why you don't cry about the past. You cry about that you have vessels that in them you have to admit what state you're in today, or give gratitude.
So we're aiming for gratitude.
Yeah.
So how do I bring myself to a state of sadness or lamentations if I don't have it in me?
No, that you don't need. Rabash used to say, you want to cry? So go to the women's area there and see how they're crying.
Why shouldn't we be in joy on such a day when the opportunity is revealed, as the situation is revealed?
We haven't gotten to a state where we understand what to correct, how to correct, what we need to do in order for it to be corrected. We're still not actually in the recognition of evil. That we just have to, from now on, just do good.
So how do we use this day specifically? What is it about this day that we can use for our advancement?
Today we need to check what's important for us, what we need to do in order to come close to the correction. What we're left is the connection between us, that in it we reveal the Creator and demand Him, from Him we raise man, that this correction will take place. We can talk a lot, but actually, this is short and to the point. That's what we need to do. Okay?
There will be correction, and everything is done by the Creator.
When the vessel was shattered, also the connection between the created beings and the Creator shattered, and that is something horrible.
But
now, who knows when and how, through which actions to correct them. That's why it's really a place of sorrow. They used to pray, bring us back to you as the days were. They used to pray. And they still started uplifting and moving away from the shattering in a way that obviously the ruin exists today too, until a new vessel won't be resurrected, so the previous vessel is still in the ruin. But still, it's not the same state as it was. There's already a certain amount of recognition of evil and an advancement towards correction.
Okay.
When you get into this stream and you feel like you've been carried away toward connection, can you somehow stop it or warn so that you don't fall?
Only to hold on to the 10. Hold on to the 10 and constantly be inside it.